God can give you the hope that he can transform it. Think about where those disciples were at on Friday and Saturday of what we now call Holy Week. They were devastated. The story of Jesus was over. Folks, Hollywood wouldn't buy this story. All right, so they bury him, and then he just comes walking out of the grave. You nuts? Life doesn't work that way. You got to have some twist to the story. There's no twist. He overcomes death. I really believe that it's in our DNA, that God put it in our spirits, that we want to believe that somehow when things seem impossible, and what does God say? Nothing's impossible to me. We view it as impossible. So God wants to tell a story of transformation through our life. It culminates in Easter. And I'd love to tell you that the transformation that we go through here on life is perfect. It's complete. You know, I like what Calipari says about his team. They're undefeated. They haven't lost any games. We're talking NCAA basketball. I thought I'd explain because I'm looking at one person out there. As soon as I go sports, she's like, what are you talking about? He's got a team that's 38-0. And when people say he's got a perfect team, he says, no. We don't have a perfect team. We just haven't lost yet. And he's very clear that we're not perfect. Folks, that's a story of us. Even when we don't sin, even when we do things well, we're not perfect yet. That day will come when we see Jesus. But God is in the business of transforming us, perfecting us. You know, I think another reason why we have this sense or this desire to rise from the ashes, so to speak, like the phoenix, we live in a city where there was a fire that devastated downtown Chicago in 1871. On the Sunday evening, October 8th, it had been a very, very hot and dry summer. And in those days, Chicago was a wooden town. And we just built, everything was built out of wood. When that fire started, and there's no proof that it was Mrs. O'Leary's cow, there was some journalist that tried to make a storyline. They don't know what started the fire. But I can tell you this, that once it started, there's two problems. One, there had been a horrible fire the day before, and so those people that put out the fires, they're already wiped out, they're exhausted. And then when the call came in, they were directed to the wrong part of the city. That allowed the fire to grow in its intensity. There were 3 square miles of the city that were destroyed. The fire started on Sunday evening. They did not get it out Sunday night, nor Monday morning, nor Monday afternoon, Monday night. They got some relief on Tuesday morning, October 10th, when some rains came. Around 300 people were killed. 100,000 people were left homeless. And yet from that, Chicago rose to be one of the great cities in the United States of America. I like stories like that. You know, I remember going to Philadelphia when I was a younger person. It was 1988, as a matter of fact. And I just looked at the homes there and I just thought, these homes are so old. I said, well, Philadelphia became a city, you know, before Chicago did, because it's on the East Coast. But that's only part of the story. The other part of the story is the Chicago Fire, and it was the central district downtown. And so many things got built up and changed because of the fire. Folks, God can bring redemption out of terrible stories. What's your story? I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And it sounds like some people are opening there, so I'll pause for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul speaking about this new covenant that transforms people's lives. And he says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You know, some people, they need that. They need that, excuse me, that affirmation somehow. They need to hear that somebody else thinks that they're something. Some people, you know, they need whatever it is, whether it's degrees, whether it's wealth, whatever it is. But he's saying, we don't need that. Here's what he says. You yourselves are our letter. What he's saying is that in our ministry, what we've invested in you, you're our letter of recommendation. How you live your life speaks to the ministry that God has given us, this new covenant. Written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ. The result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. God has sent you into the world with a message. He is writing a letter of grace through your life. One of the things that frustrates me in the church is when we don't acknowledge where we came from. We just want people to believe we're always this wonderful, good person. There's never been but one wonderful, good person his whole life here on planet Earth, and that was Jesus. And the thing that gives power to our story, the thing that communicates to other people, is that there's transformation. That we understand where they're at. That we're not better than they are in any way, shape, or form. And sometimes in the church, we've had a bad habit of communicating that we're better than other people. We're not. We've encountered the grace, and we want to invite other people to encounter that same grace. What's your story? The Bible also says that we should be ready in season and out. We should always be ready to give an account of the faith that's within us. So Heidi and I are down in Mexico. Go out to dinner one night. Going up to the men's room. It's down on the beach. There's live music playing. I'm wearing a Coldplay t-shirt. Coldplay is not a Christian band. But I like this t-shirt. I like a lot of the music. So walking up to the men's room, there's this guy. His name's Ben. He lives in Winnetka. He's 20 years old. I didn't know him before, but I know him now. So I'm walking up to the men's room, and he's just like, dude, I love your t-shirt. You know, it's like, well, okay, you know. Here's this white-haired guy with this, you know, Coldplay t-shirt. Well, Coldplay's closer to my age than to Ben's age. But he starts talking. He goes, I love Coldplay, and I love you too. And a couple weeks ago, I was telling you the story about U2 and how they had an Anglican priest who would come out with them, and he would pray before concerts. And I told the story about my cousin, about how he experienced the presence of God. He felt like it was a church service going to see U2. Well, I just mentioned this to this guy, and he goes, oh, absolutely, I got to go see him sometime. That's awesome. I mean, he was really using like the surfer lingo and everything. I mean, I was just totally loving it from Winnetka. But he was just way into the story I was telling him. He's like, what do you do, man? And I'm like, you wouldn't guess in a million years. So I told him more. And then he says, you know, that presence of God thing. He said, I was over in Greece. I looked at him. I said, I'm Greek. And he goes, this is so cool, man. And then he goes, I was at this Roman Catholic monastery. I said, I used to be Roman Catholic. And he's like, this is amazing. Like everything he said, like just connected with something that I said. And then I just had a chance to talk with him just a little bit, and probably longer than I should have. Heidi's like, where did my husband go? You know, so we talked more, and I'm just telling him some different things. And I'm telling him at one point, finally, he just goes, so what do you do? I said, guess. He goes, like medical thing, like you're a doctor or something. I said, no, I'm a preacher. And he's like, no way. Like just blew his mind. So you're like a cool preacher? I'm kind of like, well, I don't think so. But, you know, if you want to think that. And I just had a chance before I finished up with him to just tell him, it's all about Jesus. He just walked up. Why? Because I wore a Coldplay t-shirt. Go figure. How do you put those things together? God gives us the opportunity to tell our stories. I want to do that now to give you the opportunity to tell your story. And here's how it's going to work. And then I'm going to come back and tell one more story. And I'll close this, but I've tried to leave some time. What we're going to do is if you want to do it, it's not mandatory. You don't have to be a member here. It could be your first time here. But you write one thing on the front, and then you just flip it over, and it says something else on the back. It could have to do with healing. It could have to do with relationship. It could have to do with mistakes. It could have to do with anything. It's not going to be broadcast. We are going to have a video camera, so you're going to stand right here, and it'll be up there so people can read it better. What we ask is that you head to the back and you go out any way that you wish, and we have boards back there, and we have a table, and we have poster boards, and we have about 24 big markers. I'll warn you that the ink doesn't dry right away, so be careful with that you don't put it up against your shirt or something like that. And then what we'll do is we'll come in this way, and a person will stand right there long enough for it to be read. Take your time, and then turn it around, either this way or that way, whichever way you want to do it. But we ask that you'll file through this way so that the camera will be able to pick up the people that are here. So don't return down the center aisle. Return down that aisle, and then go back in or all the way back around and come in that way. I'm going to invite Joe to come back up. He's going to lead us in worship as we take some time and do this. As many of you as want to are welcome to do it. I'd encourage you that as soon as we start singing, probably head towards the back if you plan on doing it. You might have to wait a little bit, but it'll make it easier to get out of the rows. And you may not have in mind what you want to say yet. I have no idea, but when I get back there, I'll have something. Father, I pray you help us to tell our stories today, because you are glorified through telling stories through our lives. And Lord, some of us, we've played some roles we didn't want to play. But you're not done with that story either. Give us the grace, the courage to tell the truth of what you're doing in our hearts, our lives. And Father, beyond these walls, help us to have those opportunities and seize them. Just from a crazy t-shirt I was wearing, I had a chance to tell someone about you, Jesus. Help us to tell our story now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're wanting to go, I just invite you to head back. If you know what you want to write, you can get in the front part of the line. If you don't, then you can get towards the back part of the line. Let's worship as we do this. As for everybody who shared this story. Thank you. Thanks for being honest. Thanks for sharing. Was there anybody that wrote one that you just didn't get up here yet? Okay. You never know. Really just want to share one more story and then you'll be free to go. Let me preface it by saying it's amazing the way that God has chosen to spread his kingdom. It's through broken people like me and you. He's not writing stuff in stone anymore, handing it to people on top of mountains. He's not doing that. And that, it didn't work so well. You can have the Ten Commandments, but without the grace to live it out, doesn't do a whole lot of good. The way that Jesus has chosen to communicate his gospel, his grace, his mercy, his love, his transforming power to our world is through people who've all experienced brokenness. That's the only prerequisite, is that we need to acknowledge our brokenness. Our vision of what the church, I think, can be and should be is simply a place where we invite other people. There can't be an ounce of we're better than other people. The news that we have is so grace-filled, and yet somehow that message seems to get twisted in the world around us. I want to share a story that I picked up from Philip Yancey recently. And then we'll sing a song, and we'll let you be on your way. You know, when I pick up a newspaper or a magazine and a lot of books, a lot of times I realize I'm reading things that are written by people who do not embrace the same theology that I do, or that don't have the same thoughts towards Jesus as I do. Well, there's a guy by the name of Malcolm Gladwell. He was a staff writer for The New Yorker and author of best-selling books like Blink, The Tipping Point, and some other books as well. Pretty successful guy. And I'm sure he'd had some connect with God when he was younger. As a matter of fact, he did. But he got called to do a story. And so there was a family, a Mennonite couple in Winnipeg, Canada. And their story was they'd lost their daughter to a sexual predator. After the largest manhunt in Winnipeg's history, the police found their teenage daughter's body in a shed, frozen, with her hands and her feet bound. There was a news conference just after her funeral, and the father stood up and said this: "We would like to know who the person or persons are so we could share, hopefully, a love that seems to be missing in these people's lives." The mother added, "I can't say at this point, I forgive this person," stressing the point at this point. But there was a desire on her part that she wanted to be able to forgive. But let me say this just about forgiveness, because I'm a preacher. Forgiveness frees us. Unforgiveness destroys us. It corrodes our inner person. She went on to say, "We have all done something dreadful in our lives or have felt the urge to." The response of this couple, so different from the normal response. What's the normal response today? We want vengeance. We want the full letter of the law. We want to find these people. We want to hunt them down. And we want them to pay. But that wasn't their response at all. They didn't care about the court part of the whole thing. And that would be a normal response of rage and revenge. But Gladwell, it pulled him back to his Mennonite roots, because these were people that grew up in the same tradition, and they stayed in it. he had drifted away from it. How many people do you know where you work? Here's the thing that I'm often surprised by. So often we say, well, you know, so many people are unchurched. That's the new term we like to use, they're unchurched. They're unchurched right now. Most people that we know, they have a history with church, and for some of them it wasn't a good history, but it's there. And when we start telling our story, sometimes it opens them up, and they get honest, and they say, you know what, I actually did grow up in church. You know, there's a time where I was kind of doing this Jesus thing, but this happened, or that happened. And so often it was people within the church that pushed other people away. But he was moved by this. He says, something happened to me, because he interviewed them. When I sat in Wilma Dirksen's garden, it is one thing to read a history book about people empowered by their faith, but it is quite another to meet an otherwise very ordinary person in the backyard of a very ordinary house who has managed to do something utterly extraordinary. Their daughter was murdered, and the first thing that the Dirksens did was to stand up at the press conference and talk about the path to forgiveness. Folks, that is what we have in our story. Is we hold a path to forgiveness for people on a human level and on a divine level. And we just simply need to tell our story. He added this, maybe we have difficulty seeing the weapons of the Spirit because we don't know where to look or because we're distracted by the louder claims of material advantage, but I've seen them now and I will never be the same. An intellectual New York writer is touched by these Mennonites up in Canada because of how they responded. Jesus wants to tell a story through your life. I can't tell your story. You can't tell mine. God has called you uniquely to tell your story. I'll be honest, you know, I mentioned divorced, unemployed on there. Those are two things that I never looked forward to, never thought would be a part of my story. There's other things that I never thought would be a part of my life story. There are times where I feel that there are pages of script that come in from the heavenly fax machine, however you want to put it. I'm like, no, that's not my story. But as each page comes down, there's the grace that goes with it. And as each page of the story in my life has come along, I've learned to recognize that God will meet me at that point. I may not tell the story that I dreamed of. I may not tell the story in some way that I wanted to. That's not important. God has you right where he wants you. And I pray this week that you'll have divine appointments. So many of you have so many things to share with other people. And it's not a matter of just telling about Jesus. For so many people, they already have a clue of who Jesus is. You ever notice that people who are unchurched, they know how Christians ought to act? That's one of the things that I just find so intriguing. Well, that seems very unchristian. It's like, well, how are you an expert on Christianity? Oh, don't worry, I am. I know what you're supposed to do. I know all about, and then they find out you're a preacher. That was so much fun to blow that kid's mind when I told him I was a preacher. I mean, his mind was just like, no way. I love from Donald Miller's book where he talks about story and that there's conflict, but at some point, and here's my final challenge to you today, we can purpose to tell a better story. Things happen. A lot of things have happened in my life, I've mentioned that. I feel that God has given grace to tell a better story in my life, and you know what? I want it to improve from here. But we can choose to tell a better story. I probably mentioned this before, but and Nancy's not here, Nancy Bensfield, but her daughter, Carrie, no, it's Carrie Thomas, but after the earthquake in Haiti, Carrie was just devastated by that earthquake, as a lot of us who've been to Haiti were, and just our hearts just broken. I equate the earthquake in Haiti, how it impacted me back in 2010 with 9/11. To me, those were very similar type events as far as how it impacted me because of my relationship with people in Haiti. She was a college student at the time up in Grand Rapids, and she had read that book by Donald Miller about telling a better story, and she was just depressed by what had happened. And then she and another student, they just had a conversation and said, I want to tell a better story. And so they put together a fundraiser. They invited in some bands. They invited me up there to speak, and they raised thousands and thousands of dollars to help. That's how we tell a better story. We take the very thing that cuts at our heart, we take the very thing that depresses us, the very thing that has wounded us, has hurt us, and we find the grace to forgive. We find the grace to tell a better story by doing something to make a difference. I've said it before in recent weeks here, this whole From the Ashes series, but when I think of my life at this stage, where I recognize I'm in the autumn of my life. It's not summer anymore. You know, when there's snow on the mountains, you know, it's like, it's not summer anymore, okay? You can go with fall, but the mountains get snow, you know, in autumn, so. There's not a lot of things materially that I need. I trust God for those things. I really do. And God is always more than provided. I need to know that my life makes a difference. And I don't think you're any different than I am. And I think the older we get, the more we desire that our life would make a difference. Jesus, through you, wants to make a difference in so many lives. Let's pray. Father, we want to tell a better story. We want to make a difference. We want to rise from the ashes of our world, of our lives. Give us the grace to do that. Father, I pray that some people that came in discouraged today, maybe they didn't write out a cardboard testimony. But this week, I just believe for some of those people, and there's, I just think there's some here today, they didn't know what to say. I pray that there are some of us that would have those stories drawn out of us this week. Father, you know what happens to me. Sometimes I sit down with someone and they start asking some questions, and then I get some wows. And I don't see the wows, but they do. And then I start to see that you're telling a story through my brokenness. Lord, there's some people here today, they need to see that. And I pray your spirit would descend upon them like a dove. And I pray for some people here today that they'd realize you want to tell the story of the phoenix through their life. That you want to raise them up. This isn't the end of their story. And Father, as we build towards Easter Sunday, I pray you do something in our hearts, our spirits, our church. Go before us, make a way for us. Bless your people. In Jesus' name. I invite you to stand.